Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode may contain explicit language. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, October 26th, the I'm sorry edition. I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the family travel blog Dutch Goose. I'm the mom of three littles, Henry who's 11, Oliver who's 9, and Teddy who's 7, and we live in Tokyo, Japan.
I'm Jamila Lemieux. I'm a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding parenting column, and mom to Naima, who is 10, and we live in Los Angeles.
Hey, I'm Ophira Eisenberg. I'm a stand-up comic, and I host the podcast Parenting is a Joke. I have a son named Lucas, who is 7. I live in Brooklyn.
Ophira, we're so excited to have you back.
Thank you. Oh my goodness, so great to be here. Nice to see you both.
We're an all moms edition today, so
so get ready, everybody.
Get ready. Well, today on the show, our letter writer can't get her child to stop apologizing for basically everything. We're going to help her figure out what sorry really means and when it's okay to not be sorry. And then, if you're in the Slate Plus Club, we're going to do a round of mom hot takes. We put Ophira in the hot seat, gave her some rapid-fire mom topics, and we'll see what she has to say on some of parenting's most controversial topics. Here's a quick sneak peek of what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
Okay, first of all, there's nothing in my life I have done that has been more controversial than every single parenting decision I have made. But, okay, toddler leashes, of course. I'm going to say, I think something obvious. When I was without a child in my life, I was like, that is terrible. How dare you treat your human child like a dog? And now, you know, depending on your kid, it's not for every kid, but depending on your kid, you are helping everyone. Anytime I see someone with that, I think to myself, for them, it has come to this. And they found a solution.
By becoming a Slate Plus member, you'll enjoy a weekly bonus segment and all of your beloved Slate podcasts without any advertisements. It's the ultimate way to enhance your listening experience while also providing vital support to the show. You can join Slate Plus today by visiting slate.com/momanddadplus. All right, we're going to jump into triumphs and fails as soon as we get back from this short break.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at SkylightFrame.com/easy.
All right, we're back. Ophira, do you want to kick us off by sharing something from your week in parenting?
Sure. So my son is really into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Ah, yes.
Nice.
And he wanted a toy. He wanted a toy. And so we're trying to work on this, do some chores around the house, and then you can have something. So I basically said, my husband as well, I'm not going to make it all me. But we said, okay, if you get up in the morning, make your bed, put on your clothes, and set the table for a week, you can get this figure. And let me tell you, day one, he was done. He woke up. I woke up. It was all done. It was incredible. I was just like, oh, I'm a genius. And then day two, it happened. And then day three, it happened. And then day four, the bed wasn't made, but the clothes were on and the table was set. And then he did it to the end. He got the figure. He got the figure. And then I was like, great, what do you want next? And we'll do it again. And he was like, no, I'm good. So so with all work has ceased, my worker is on strike, I guess. And so it was, I had a brief moment of like, oh, this incentive-based chore thing is going to change our lives. But I didn't really think past the 7 days fail.
Not quite the motivation you're looking for.
But there was a moment where I thought everything was going to turn around in our lives.
You almost had it all.
Almost.
I love that because I love to think sometimes about what if they treated, like if this behavior continued as an adult, you know, like what am I actually seeing here? The idea of like go to work, he'd like earn what he needed, and then he's just like, peace out.
Exactly.
This was good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Can eat for another week. I'm good.
Amazing, right? Yeah. Reach my ceiling.
I felt no sense of accomplishment from the things that I did.
I knew what it was for, and that's it. I know. So I got to work on the philosophy behind that one.
I love that. Jamila, how about you?
My fail resulted in me being late for the recording this morning. So that happened. So Naima's playing volleyball now, which I've mentioned. Oh, shout out to one of our listeners. I don't know their name, but somebody wrote into Karen Feeding. I'm one of the Karen Feeding columnists, and they wrote, so did Naima ever go to that volleyball practice? I've been listening for weeks wondering. So thank you for following up. Yes, she's been playing volleyball and she's loving it so far. And they have practices on Monday nights from 6:15 to 7:15. So it usually takes us until about 7:30 to, you know, get completely out of there. Like there's always something to do. Last night they were handing out uniforms and forms for pitcher day, because school pitcher day is not enough. There's also sports pitcher day. I did not know this was a thing. You can order trading cards. She was like, yeah, I want to with my statistics on. I'm like, what statistics? You've never played in a game. You have like, what? You just started. What are volleyball statistics even anyway? Like, how do you put that on the back of a sports card? Anyway, so we get in last night. It's late. I baked the chicken earlier in the day, and it was still bloody when I went to serve it. So I had to heat the chicken up, and the chicken took forever. So we're eating like 8:45, like it's late, you know, and Naima puts on a movie. And then after the movie went off, we put on Golden Bachelor. So I was late today because Naima couldn't wake up. She was tired. You know, she usually gets up at 6. I let her sleep till 6:30. It took me 20 minutes to get her up. She kept saying, mommy, I can't, mommy, I can't. And the reason she's as tired as she is because I let her stay up to watch The Golden Bachelor.
But in the moment when you stayed up, was it good bonding?
It was good bonding. And we love Golden Bachelor. Have you seen it?
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Incredible.
I've watched any of the Bachelor iterations, and my friend said, listen, I understand. Watch this one.
Yes.
And I was hooked within 15 seconds.
Immediately. I've never seen an episode of The Bachelor or Bachelorette. It's been on for 20 years. But as soon as I knew they were doing old people, I was like, I am in. And it is worth it.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to give it a try. How can I resist this sales pitch?
I will not.
It's so good. And it's like good family viewing. You're right.
Yeah, except for the fact that he like makes out with all the women.
Well, there's a teaching moment in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, what about you? What's going on this week?
Okay, well, I was off last week and you guys answered a question about traveling with three alone. And meanwhile, due to, I don't know, poor planning, just being the way the new camps travel, I was traveling alone with three children to Taiwan because somehow, due to, I guess, just chaos, I don't know, Jeff and I were on separate flights. I was on a flight with the three kids. Jeff, my husband, was on a different flight out of different airports from Tokyo into different airports in Taiwan. I do not advise this because, one, they're rather suspicious when you bring kids without the other person on the birth certificate to like another country. I had all the paperwork and it was like, okay, getting there. And then we had a lovely trip. We drove around Taiwan, which is
sign up. Wait, Elizabeth,
beautiful.
I'm sorry. Yeah. What paperwork do you travel with for your kids?
Jamila, you know that I'm insane and think that everything bad is going to happen to me. So do know that I know that this is insane. I have a copy of Jeff's passport. I have a notarized like form that says like he knows that I'm traveling with the kids and that I'm taking them out of the country. I have a copy of my return flight. And then I have a power of attorney from him saying that I can make all the decisions.
Oh, my.
Without
You're
him.
Amazing.
I am so convinced that something is going to happen. Now, nothing has ever happened. And I don't know if it's because when I appear at security, I'm just like handing them all this paperwork. Like, I think they're just like, whatever this lady is doing.
Like, relax.
Yeah. And the kids are never well behaved in the line because I'm panicked. And when I'm panicked, they're a mess. So, yeah. So I have all this. I travel with all of this, like, just in case. And I just like hand it to the person. In Europe, we traveled a lot in Europe and I had babies. And so it was a little bit more. They were like, where are you taking this baby? Like, why? I do think there they asked for the forms. But I mean, here I have like three boys who could all identify me. Who would want to take them? I don't know. But it is kind of chaotic. So we had this wonderful trip in Taiwan, which, by the way, I knew nothing about because we are just taught nothing about Asia, or at least I was. So this wonderful, very educational trip. We booked flights back to Japan, though, at like 6. I think the flight was at 6 in the morning. We had to get to these different airports. I mean, listen, I'm carrying all this paperwork. I like read all over the internet what time I needed to be at the airport. And it said I had to be there 2.5 hours before my flight. We were not checking bags. We were like just doing the roll aboard. The kids can all now pull their own suitcase, which is like amazing. So I get there 2.5 hours early, which means getting the kids up at like 4 a.m. Jeff had already left because he was going to a different airport. They are all pissed when I wake them up, like yelling at their only response was like, why would you have booked this flight? They're yelling at me. I'm trying to like get them to put their clothes on. There is no food like available. So I get us in an Uber, get to the airport. The airport is it's closed. It does not open until like 5. And even when the gates open at 5, the check-in desk and security not open till 6. For our 6:30 flight. So we are now sitting outside. They are pissed. There is nothing to eat. I only have one. I like changed back the money before we left. I just have like one bill that is apparently too large to use in any kind of vending machine. When we finally get into the airport, the only thing open, you guys, is a bar. And it is full of men getting beer. Only thing they will sell me are these Fiji, I'm holding up these tiny Fiji water bottles. That is the only water available. So I buy like 6 Fiji water bottles because if you can't feed your children, you just fill their stomachs with water. You're just like, good morning. Drink water. The only good news is that in Asia, they're still feeding you on all the flights. So even on our 2.5 hour flight, we got on the flight. We were served chicken and rice because that's what you want to eat at 6 a.m. But my kids ate it because they were starving. Yeah. And we're back. We're fine. I was allowed back in the country. I was not my best self at any point in this.
That is why, I mean, wild, but I've also been not as extreme of a situation, but been to an airport for a very early morning flight and got there. And we were literally standing in line waiting for TSA to open and just going like, what? Someone should mention.
Why are you not open?
And then we got through and I had to go through customs and that opens half an hour later. So then we were just standing in another line waiting for little gates to go up. And I was just like, this should be communicated. This is pretty easy.
Yeah.
I Googled and you said 2.5 hours early. You could have said, except for the 6:30 flight.
I did the same thing, but just a US Canada. And I was just floored.
And
yeah.
Not my
I know.
Fault. No.
Yep. But
no
that sounds
for this fail.
Brutal. Who booked this flight? Who booked these flights?
My husband.
Aha. Uh-huh. Somehow. Uh-huh. How did you guys end up on different flights?
Huh? Yeah, exactly.
You with the kids and him all alone? How?
Exactly.
Yeah. He's at the other airport having a beer in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Living his
and
best
then you
life.
Guys, he has the audacity to tell me that he was at the further away airport, both in Tokyo and in Taiwan. And I'm thinking, if you're by yourself, it doesn't matter.
No,
it really doesn't.
Zero.
Great. You had an hour cab ride or whatever on your own. And then you had an hour train ride on your. Did you enjoy your book? Did you enjoy?
Yeah.
Did you watch a movie on the flight or were you helping your children eat chicken and rice with chopsticks? At 6, after
just
getting
you and your
4.
Thoughts, really? That's what I'm battling against. Just you and your thoughts for hours.
I feel very validated right now.
No problem. I'm here for you.
Well, on that note, we are going to take another quick break, and then we will see you back here for our listener question.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Let's hear our listener question, which you guys, I just empathize with so much. All right. Dear mom and dad, my daughter is nearly 4 years old. She says sorry for every little thing. I keep telling her that saying sorry is not always the right response, but it's of no use. Can you please help me get her to stop apologizing? Thanks. Sorry. I'm not sorry.
This is not a problem. Continue. No. I mean, it's sort of, since I am dealing with the opposite issue of just trying to instill a sense of like, when you do this, you apologize and, you know, and it doesn't take anything away from you and it doesn't take anything. It's just a way of acknowledgement. So I feel like, oh, wow, what would it be like to go have the other extreme? I can see it's problematic. Also, I grew up in Canada. You would not believe how many conversations are punctuated with the word sorry, warranted or not. I mean, there is a standard joke about how do you get a Canadian to say sorry, step on their foot. You know, so it's just, so I over-sorry. I over-sorry. And I think it's fine. Americans sometimes look at me weird. New Yorkers definitely say, actually, because I will over-sorry and then I'll say sorry like I'm sorry that happened to you.
Yes.
Someone will be like, oh, I was late for work. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. And they will go, well, you had nothing to do with it. Which I'm always like, that's a weird response. So, but I also go, this is a this is, she's describing a daughter, and if this daughter ends up, you know, basically still identifying that way as a woman, you know, I too feel like I oversorry as a female on this planet, as a woman, I apologize for my existence, the space I take up. Yeah. It's a way of approval, it's a way of saying that my opinion is diminished and doesn't matter, so I'm sorry for even being there, and I need that kicked out of me a bit. So, and if that is where we're starting with this kid, but I don't think that's where we're starting. We just want to have better patterns in terms of behaviors that are worthy of apology and behaviors that are just like behaviors, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's, so. I'm like, what's the question?
Yeah.
What is she apologizing for?
Why is she saying sorry? Jamila, you and I are both, I notice on the show, over apologizers. Like if we make a say something wrong or have to go do a take back, both of us have a tendency to be like, "Oh, sorry."
Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely a woman thing, you know. I don't think this is the worst problem, you know. Like when she says sorry unnecessarily, just remind her like there's no need to be sorry. You know, I think she'll grow out of this. I think sorry is her word right now. You know, like she's very little. Like, I don't think that this literally means that she's taking deep personal responsibility for, you know, everything that happens. You know, I don't necessarily think it's taking a toll on her self-esteem yet. But just remind her, like, hey, you didn't do anything to be sorry for. Or ask her, why are you saying sorry?
Yeah, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? Also, I'm assuming it's modeled because where would she have heard it from to model it? Because my son currently says to me, and it's like you hear your own voice, right? He'll go, "Mom, relax." And I'm like, "Don't say that to me." But it's because we have said to him, "Lucas, relax," you know, when he is excited, overexcited, or expressing big emotions, as we say. So you hear it back and you're like, yeah, we should pick different words.
I was really struck because, Ophira, like you, I am working on getting the three little children in my house to apologize for things. And so I was struck by like, have we somehow already wired like a 4-year-old little girl to say she's sorry and I can't get my 11-year-old to like do the apologizing, you know, for anything. It's like he has an answer for anything shy of like a major hurt. He has identified that like if he breaks something or if he like bumps into me or bumps it, you know, like there's a hurt that there's an apology. But in those cases, it's like the apology isn't enough. There's like a very small zone where like one apology is okay, you know, just like an I'm sorry, which is like you've done something, but it's very minor and you recognize that you were to blame, but it was kind of a nothing, right? Like
yes.
That is the only time that just like, ooh, sorry is like appropriate. But I was thinking about like other, just trying to increase, 4 is a good age to be like increasing vocabulary. So you might have the opportunity to be like, sorry are for these things. And then you can also maybe teach like when sorry is not enough. So like on these big things, we now need actions or we need to make it right. And in these other instances, like, is excuse me better? Like I have found that a lot of times either it's like a verbal tick almost that like, ooh, I've messed up and I'm like apologizing that I made a mistake, even though it's okay, like that should be human. And so one, could I have just not said anything at all? Like, could I have just taken a moment and been like, ooh, I don't need to apologize? Or two, would something like, ooh, excuse me, because I tend to use it to be like, I'm bothering someone, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Ooh, sorry, can I have your help or can I do this? But it's like, I shouldn't have to say I'm sorry. And so what is the better word? Like, I'm not sorry, but I want to like recognize somehow that I am pulling you away from what you're doing to do something for me.
Yeah, try this. Hey, that should work. But I think, you know, just listening and, you know, kind of combining what Jamila said with what you said, maybe the advice for this person is to try to almost get the daughter to finish her sentence. I know that's like the daughter's four, it's very young, but it would be like, all right, sorry, and then extend the sentence. Because that might be a key into understanding where it's coming from. Like, sorry for knocking over my bowl versus sorry for, I don't know, like, sorry that I bumped into you or sorry that I want you to play with me.
Yeah. And I wonder, too, if it's like I've known kids and I suspect that I was one of these children that like a correction given was also met with a sorry as if I should have been perfect, right? Like you need to make this change or I'm checking your homework or what, I don't know, 4 year old, like, oh, you colored this the wrong color, like these learning moments. I wonder if those are where she's also saying like, ooh, sorry. And it's like, well, no, your job as a child is to make these mistakes. And my job as the adult is to help you understand either that you made a mistake and this is how we do it in the future, or understand why you made this choice that was different than my choice. And we don't need to be sorry for that. Like it's perfectly okay. Cause I do feel like we sort of set ourselves up by using sorry and then accepting the sorry, that we were somehow supposed to walk through this world without ever being wrong.
Right.
Right. And it's almost the flip side of what I see with my boys are like, well, no, you should be sorry because this is why I acted that way. Like, how could you not have seen that this, you know? Mm-hmm. And it feels like we need a middle ground where we're like, oh, we're all allowed to make these mistakes.
Yeah. And also, right, there's like, whose fault is it? My son's really into that. Like, if something happens, he'll say, you know, well, this person made me do it or you made me do it. Right. And so then it's like, no, that's not what we're talking about. We've got to focus on the action and link that to what happened. It doesn't matter all of the backstory, but I'm happy you're telling me this. But so that to me speaks to his self-esteem because he's just so worried about getting in trouble or doesn't want agency because he doesn't want to have to deal with it. Which maybe we're talking about that also with this young kid about, is the sorry affecting how they feel about themselves?
Right.
Which that's what we want to make sure that they have self-esteem and they feel like they belong and they matter and what their actions are appropriate and they don't have to feel that they don't belong or are wrong all the time.
Jamila, is Naima, does she apologize or she is above this?
Naima was pretty good at apologizing when she's done something wrong, but there's also a lot of sorry, sorry. Oh, it drives me crazy. Preteen attitude, sorry. You know, like when I point out something that she's done or like, Naima, there's, you know, little bits of toilet paper all over the floor. Sorry, you know, like.
Right.
As she walks in the opposite direction.
Taking a photo of it for Instagram.
Right.
My mom's about to clean this up for me.
Your intonation was perfect. As soon as you said it, I knew exactly the attitude behind it. It was just that, like it's that exact tone.
These kids, guys.
They're impossible. You know what? I'm not sorry either. Okay?
Yeah. We're not sorry that you wrote in. No. Well, sorry. I'm not sorry. Seriously, thanks for writing in. I love that she's noticed it already at four because so often these are things that I think with intention, right, we can like almost that's enough to fix it, just like bringing attention to it. And I think when my kids were four, I was so in the weeds, like, did I even notice these things? So I think this is a wonderful question and something for you to try some of these things. Please let us know. Did we make it worse? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we make it worse. But we hope we made it better. But let us know. Also, listeners, if you have thoughts on this, write in. We want to hear what you're doing. Are your kids saying one of these many sorries? And as always, if you have a question of your own or a topic you'd like us to cover, please reach out. You can email us at momanddad@slate.com or give us a call, 646-357-9318. Seriously, we need your questions, so please send those in. And that's our show. Subscribe and leave a rating and review, and of course, tell your friends. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson and Maura Curry. Shasha Leonard is the voice of our listeners. Alicia Montgomery is the VP of Slate Audio. For Jamila Lemieux and Ophira Eisenberg, I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. Thanks for listening.